Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, April 11, 2024, 1 John.
All right, a couple of things just to remind you once again. The work day here at Upland Bible Church has been postponed. It will not be this Saturday. We're having difficulty getting filters for our air conditioning units. And so we're trying, we have to wait till we get those. Tentatively, we're setting up work day for the following weekend, next Saturday, not this Saturday, but the following one, on the 20th. But if we don't have the filters for the air conditioning units, we'll have to postpone it again. And then a second time to remind you, this is in regard to the Upland Bible Church master prayer list. For the past 6 weeks, there has been a notice on the top of the prayer list that requests updates on all those people you have put on the list. The request was that you review all the categories on the master list, which was sent to you in a separate email last week. And let us know via the church email which names should remain on and which ones can be removed. As of today, most of the names will be removed because we have not received leave on or take off notifications from you. If you have already notified us, your updates have been noted. If not, your people on the list will be deleted. And we'll thank God for answered prayer. Or thank God, pray for your brain damage. Brain. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4, the greatest chapter in all of the word of God that explains and defines virtue love. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 17a says, by this, living the spiritual life and having virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, with the result that we might have confidence in the day of judgment, that is the judgment seat of Christ, which we have studied in great detail in our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The winner believer living the spiritual life will have confidence as he stands before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, because he has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And that means he has occupation with Jesus Christ. How great will that be for you to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have in your heart personal love for God the Son, Jesus Christ, and you love him more with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is what it means to stand before Jesus Christ with confidence. The winner believer's heart does not condemn him because he is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And therefore, he will have great confidence before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Confidence toward God is the result of having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then verse 17b, because just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, in hypostatic union is, so also are we in this world. And this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ, sets the precedence for the royal family of God of the church age on how to live this unique spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ set the precedence for the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. In his true humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in grace and truth through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and he attained spiritual maturity in his true humanity. And virtue love was brought to completion in his heart. And in his true humanity, he developed great personal love for God the Father. And that is the great motivational virtue that motivated our Lord Jesus Christ to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father for him. Operation Grace, the cross. In his true humanity, he developed great impersonal love for all mankind. And therefore, he was willing to bear the sins of the whole world, and he was willing to bear the judgment for those sins. In his deity, the Lord Jesus Christ is infinite virtue love in his very essence. In his true humanity, he developed virtue love by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. God the Holy Spirit is the supernatural power to live this supernatural life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. The Lord Jesus Christ was indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time in his true humanity. We have the same power available to us. God the Holy Spirit to live the spiritual life. And this establishes the precedent for the church age. The church age believer living the spiritual life follows the precedents of our Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ entered the spiritual life at his virgin birth, incarnation and virgin birth. We enter the spiritual life at the new birth, regeneration. And then verse 18a. There is no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear. As you live the spiritual life and fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, this virtue love will drive out and eliminate all mental attitude sins of fear. The believer, God can use all kinds of people to give them the spiritual gift and communicate his word. Even those who have trouble with the speaking. The believer must step outside of the spiritual life and step into Satan's cosmic system to function under fear. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, motivates impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. That occupation with Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God, eliminates all mental attitude sins of fear. There is no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear, eliminates the mental attitude sin of fear in your life. And then he continues and says, because fear hath punishment. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular phobos with the definite article, plus the present active indicative of the verb echo, plus the accusative singular of colossus. The conjunction ha ti is a causal conjunction, and you correctly translate it because. Phobos is the word fear. We get our English word phobia from phobos, and here refers to the mental attitude sin of fear. Literally, the verb echo means to have and to hold or to possess. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 333, tells us that in our verse, echo means to have or include in itself, to bring about, to cause. To have or include in itself, to bring about, to cause. The present tense is the nomic present. The nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this. The mental attitude sin of fear includes in itself self-induced misery. And it brings about and causes punishment, divine discipline. The active voice, the mental attitude sin of fear, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this axiom of truth from the viewpoint of reality and certainty and fact. Now the word colossus. This is where we stopped last time. This is where we start this evening. I know black is beautiful. but red. Red. We're missing one of our deacons. He's gone into reversionism. Well, he headed to Reno, and that there's a problem right there. And he told me, he says, my company's sending me to Reno, and it's very close to hell. And the reason why you know it's close to hell is you can see sparks from there. Sounds like a Gary Brown joke, doesn't it? Oh, now you don't have a very thick. And when you go through your prayer list, pray for the deacons, will you? Colossus, K-O-L-A-S-I-A-I-S, excuse me, Colossus. All right, this is the key word here. One, literally Colossus means to undergo punishment. Literally it means to undergo punishment. Point two, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 441, says that specifically, Colossus is the Greek word for divine punishment. For divine punishment. Three, Colossus then refers to warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. All of these are categories of discipline that come from God. When we get out of fellowship with God, when we enter into Satan's cosmic system and live our life in Satan's cosmic system, we will come under self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline if we don't wake up. Why? Because God doesn't want us to crash and burn. He doesn't want us to fall off the cliff. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with the most fantastic blessings. And so that only will come when you live the spiritual life, not living in Satan's cosmic system. And so to get us to wake up, he disciplines us because he loves us. Discipline from God comes from the fact that he loves us with infinite virtue love. And he doesn't want to see any of us crash and burn. So when we start making bad decisions and get out of fellowship with God and get into Satan's cosmic system, then he will spank us to get us to wake up. Hey, you're going the wrong way. You're not living the spiritual life. There is no mental attitude sins or sins of the tongue in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And against those things, there's no law. There are no mental attitude sins of fear or anger or hatred. There are no sins of the tongue of judging or slandering or maligning in the spiritual life. Those are from making bad decisions of living in Satan's cosmic system. So Colossus specifically is a Greek word for divine punishment and refers to warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you don't wake up, a dying discipline. You cannot lose your salvation. That's impossible. Four, the disobedient Christian will experience God's discipline. The disobedient Christian will experience God's discipline. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Great section here, Hebrews 12, 5 through 11.
on discipline and divine discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement. Encouragement. See, when God disciplines you and spanks you, it ought to be encouragement to you that He loves you very, very, very much. And He doesn't want you to crash and burn. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you phenomenal blessing, but He can't do it when you're living in Satan's cosmic system. So when He does spank you, it ought to encourage you. God loves me. He really loves me. So, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. You see, divine discipline is a family matter. Our Heavenly Father is spanking us. A family matter. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves. The Lord disciplines those He loves. He loves us with infinite virtue love. And because He does, and because He wants to bless you with phenomenal salvation, blessing, greater grace when you advance to spiritual maturity, greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessing for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. And He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. And therefore, verse 7, endure deserved suffering. Endure deserved suffering when you're spanked by the Lord as discipline. God is treating you as sons. This is the family matter. We're royal family of God. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and every believer undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our human fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, for blessings. He wants to bless us. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. But later on, however, it produces the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness for those who have been trained by it. You learned. So we have all been disciplined by the Lord. There's none of us that are perfect. Is there anyone here who has never sinned? Would you stand up? No, we've all sinned. We've all made bad decisions and gotten into Satan's cosmic system. And we've all gone through being trained and disciplined and spanked by the Lord. Because He loves us. And it's a wake-up call. And when you wake up and rebound, 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life. You get up and you move on. You get up and go on and keep on going on and advancing in the plan of God and in the spiritual life that God has for you. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, God loves, I rebuke, warning discipline. That's warning discipline. And punish. That's intensive discipline if we didn't learn from warning discipline. So be earnest and repent. Repent means to change your mental attitude. Rebound. Acknowledge your sins to God. You're forgiven and cleansed and restored to fellowship with God. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. When the Lord is knocking at the door, that's divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that's rebound. That is the number one problem-solving device. That's how you get back into fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound, I will come in and eat with him and he with me, and that is fellowship. You're back into fellowship with God. You're restored to fellowship with God. Now you're in fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life. Now, get up and move on and don't look back. Don't look behind. We all sin. We all make mistakes. But God has provided. How can he restore you to fellowship? Because when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he paid the penalty for all the sins. All sins. All the sins we committed when we were an unbeliever, and all the sins we commit when we are a believer. All the sins were poured out on Christ. All of them were paid for. And so the only issue for salvation is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And the only issue for getting back into fellowship with God is acknowledging your sins to God. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. So the disobedient Christian will experience God's discipline. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, Revelation 3, 19 and 20. Why? Because He loves us. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't spank us when we're making bad decisions. So point five, this is God's wake-up call. This is God's wake-up call to the disobedient believer to rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and get cracking. Get cracking on living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So this is God's wake-up call to the disobedient believer to rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the spiritual life that God has for you. Six. Unpleasant as it is, like all divine discipline, Hebrews 12, verse 11, it is a demonstration of God's love for us, Hebrews 12, verse 6. Unpleasant as it is, like all divine discipline, Hebrews 12, 11, it is a demonstration of God's love for us, Hebrews 12, verse 6. Seven, God disciplines us in grace and with great virtue love because He desires us to live the spiritual life, because He wants to bless us. He wants us to reach spiritual maturity. Have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And He wants to bless us with greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. 8. If the believer responds to the Lord's discipline, then it will produce the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness. Spiritual maturity, Hebrews 12, verse 11. If the believer responds to the Lord's discipline, then it will produce the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. And you understand this as you grew up in your home. As I grew up in a home where my father was an unbeliever. And I love my dad so much. And I love my mom so much. My mom was a believer. My dad wasn't for a long time. But he became a believer in Jesus Christ. But my dad, I never knew anyone that worked harder than my dad. My mom, he didn't want mom to work. He wanted her to stay home and take care of us kids. And so he worked, and he worked when he felt great, and he worked when he was sick. No matter what the situation was, he always went to work. There were times he was totally, totally sick, but he always went to work. He never stayed home. And I saw that. And he was a great father and providing for the family, providing for us kids. We never had lots, but we always had great, great family and great blessings. And he always had time to take us fishing in the summer. But when we did something out of line, he would discipline us. And when he disciplined, I got disciplined. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart when my dad had to discipline me. But most of all, what hurt more than anything else was that I had done things that hurt him. And so he had to discipline me. And that just broke my heart. And I did not want. I listened to that, learned from that, and that was not going to happen again. I did not want to hurt my dad, or he would have to discipline me. Because I knew he loved me. I knew he loved all. We all knew that he loved us. And that's the same way with my Heavenly Father. So if the believer responds to the Lord's discipline, then it will produce the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, Hebrews 12:11-9. The mental attitude sin of fear indicates that the believer is out of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. Ten, fear, like all mental attitude sins, such as anger and hatred, jealousy, those are all mental attitude sins. Fear, like all mental attitude sins, is self-punishing and self-destructive. So John is saying here in our verse, there is no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear, because fear includes in itself, it brings about, it causes divine punishment Because fear, the mental attitude sin of fear, includes in itself, brings about, causes divine punishment. And then he goes on and says, he that feareth, we always start with the King James, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the articular present middle participle of phobeo plus the perfect passive indicative of teleao with the objective negative ou plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of agape with the definite article. Now we have the post-positive conjunction de. Looks like that in the Greek, de. And it's used as the emphatic or the intensive de. The emphatic or intensive de is correctly translated indeed, really, or in fact. And we will translate it in fact. In fact, and then we have the verb. We had the noun phobos, now the verb phobeo. P-H-O-B-E, long O, phobeo. One, the phobeo means to be afraid, to become frightened, to fear someone or to fear something. There are a lot of people today that have all kinds of fears. And there are more and more and more as we are living in a time of apostasy and degeneracy in client nation USA. There are more fears and more fears and greater fears of all kinds of things. Phobeo means to be afraid, to become frightened, to fear someone or something. Two, this is the mental attitude sin of fear. Three, this demonstrates that you are not living the spiritual life. This demonstrates you're not living the spiritual life. Spiritual life is lived by a supernatural power, God the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control, and fear. No, fear is not in there. That's not a part of the filling of the Spirit. That's not a part of the fruit of the Spirit. That's not, has nothing to do with the spiritual life. It means you're living in Satan's cosmic system. So this demonstrates that you're not living the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit is not fear. For rather you have placed yourself by your own bad decisions. You have placed yourself in Satan's cosmic system. And five, there is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. Now what we have here is a participle. It's an articular participle, and that's substantival. It functions as a noun, and it is correctly translated, the one who is afraid, the one who has become frightened, the one who fears someone or something. And then we have teleao with the objective negative ooh. Ooh, teleao. Ooh. Not good when it's ooh. Teleao, T-E-L-E-I-O, long O, teleao. Now teleao means to complete, It means to bring to an end. It means to finish. It means to accomplish. It means to bring something to its goal, to accomplish the objective. That's teleao. And it's from teleao that we get the adjective teleos, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity. The teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer, and we saw that in Ephesians 4, verse 13. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to become perfect, to become mature. But we have with teleao the objective negative ooh. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ooh. And ooh slams the door. He has not been perfected. He has not achieved spiritual maturity. He has not been matured. Matured in what? The preposition en plus the dative in the sphere of agape in virtue love. John's word all the way through for virtue love. So, our verse says, there is no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear. Because fear includes in itself, brings about, causes divine punishment. In fact, the one who fears has not been matured, perfected in the sphere of virtue love. Great, great verse. One, the plan of God for the church age believer is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. The plan of God for the church age believer is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. Two, as that church age believer grows up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will obtain the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The reason why we're here. And what is that ultimate objective of the spiritual life? Point three, that is, he will have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Four, therefore, the unique spiritual life of the church age is a palace. God has given us a palace to live in, a palace for the royal family of God, and that's the spiritual life. Five, the royal family of God is designed to live in a palace. And that palace is the unique spiritual life of the church age. And in that palace, there is no mental attitude sin of fear in the palace of the spiritual life. Because virtue love has been brought to completion in your heart. And when virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, that drives out any mental attitude sins of fear or worry or anger or hatred or jealousy. They're all gone. There's no mental attitude sin of fear in the palace of the spiritual life. So again, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no mental attitude sin of fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear, because fear includes in itself, brings about, causes divine punishment. In fact, the one who fears has not been matured, perfected in the sphere of virtue love. Now, verse 19. This is a special verse, 1 John 4:19. I have in my office a picture and a frame, and the frame has this verse around it. It has 1 John 4:19 around it, and then inside the picture inside the frame is Debbie and me, we're together, and it's I look at that every day, and the frame is this verse. We love Him because He first loved us. This is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of agapao, plus the conjunction hati with the nominative singular of autos, with the adjective protos, plus the aorist active indicative of agapao, and the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now, in the King James, it says, we love Him. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we love Him in the original autograph. It says, we love. It does not say, we love Him. So there is no word Him in the original manuscript. What we have is simply, we love. That's what we have here. We love. The nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego. E-G, long O, ego. Is we, and only we. We refer specifically to believers living the unique spiritual life of the church age and having virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. That's the we here. And then we have agapao. And that's all we have. There is no Him. It's we love. We love with virtue love. Why do we love with virtue love? Why do we love one another with virtue love, impersonal love for all? Because He first loved us with impersonal love for all. And that is why we can love others with impersonal love for all. So agapao. A-G-A-P-A, long O. Agapao. Agapao, literally to love. Agapao is the Apostle John's word that he uses throughout this epistle for virtue love. Virtue love, personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue. Impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. Occupation with Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:19, the Apostle John is emphasizing the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. We and only we love with impersonal love for all. You see, it's perfect. You want to know the divine institution of marriage was invented by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Satan is the current ruler of planet Earth, and he attacks God's divine institution, and he's certainly attacking the divine institution of marriage and family and nationalism. He attacks all those because he's the ruler of planet Earth. But God invented, Jesus Christ invented the divine institution of marriage. And He also gave us how the mandates, how that it can be successful, magnificent, wonderful, the best of the best. And that is through virtue love. To love one another with virtue love. In fact, the mandate for the husband is love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's a mandate, to love your wife with impersonal love for all. Love her with virtue love when she's at her best and when she's at her worst. That's the mandate. You love your wife with impersonal love, when no matter when she's at her best or at her worst. And then the mandate for the woman is to be subordinate to the authority of your husband in all things. And that requires impersonal love for him when he's at his worst. And when you both have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you both have impersonal love for all, that will heal all of the issues and problems and wounds in a marriage. They'll all be healed by impersonal love for one another. Virtue love. That's why I love that picture in there. We love, Deb and I, Divine Institution of Marriage, with impersonal love. And that impersonal love makes our marriage gets better and better and better. If it gets any better, I'll probably explode and go to heaven. I just don't want her to explode and go to heaven, or then I'm going to explode and go to heaven. She's phenomenal. So, agapao. We and only we love with impersonal love for all believers living the spiritual life, because he first loved us. The conjunction ha ti is a causal conjunction, because the intensive pronoun autos is used as the third person personal pronoun. Now, autos comes right out of classical Greek, and in classical Greek it was never used this way. But it is commonly used this way in Koine Greek in the New Testament scriptures. Therefore, autos is correctly translated he, referring to God. He, God, first, protos, P-R-long-O-T-O-S, protos, first, adjective of time. And then our verb agapao, repeated again, is virtue love. This time, it's emphasizing God's impersonal love for all mankind. So, one, we and only we, believers living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought in our heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, we love with impersonal love for all, because God first loved us with impersonal love for all. We and only we, believers living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, we love with impersonal love for all, because God first loved us with impersonal love for all. Two, this is God the Father's impersonal love for all in designing the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. John 3:16, God loved the world so much. What is that love? Impersonal love for the whole world. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. He sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. He loved the world so much. God loved the world so much, He gave His Son. He loved the world when the world was in spiritual death and total depravity. He loved the world when the world was no damn good. That's impersonal love for all. God loved the world so much, He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love, virtue love toward us, impersonal love toward all of us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's, the Father's, impersonal love for all in designing Operation Grace, the plan of salvation. 3, God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind is also manifested in unlimited atonement. Unlimited atonement. 1 John chapter 2. verse 2, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Impersonal love for all. 4, this is God the Son's impersonal love for all, in willing to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. This is God the Son's impersonal love for all, in His willingness to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, His willingness to bear the sins of the whole world, His willingness to receive the judgment for those sins. That is God the Son's impersonal love for all mankind. The present tense is nomic present. The nomic present introduces the timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: God loves all mankind unconditionally with impersonal love for all, which is manifested by His plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. God loves all mankind unconditionally with impersonal love for all, which is manifested by His plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. The active voice, God the Father and God the Son perform the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. The accusative plural, the personal pronoun, ego, us, all mankind, every member of the human race. So the verse says, we and only we, believers living the spiritual life, love with impersonal love for all, because He, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. Okay, well, this section, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 19, this is the high watermark of this epistle on teaching this fantastic doctrine of virtue love. We'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.